Daniel?
Yes.
There's a guy in the Bible named Daniel.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Did everybody... First of all, who here is a pastor of a church? Raise your hand. All right. Who of you here can understand my English if I talk slow enough? A couple of you. All right, I'll speak slow and he'll interpret and we'll get along just fine. Okay? I want to say, first of all, I am so glad to be here again. A lot of things that we have been doing in your community since I was here the last time. The main thing being feeding the people who live in the poorest areas, who have no food, very little water. We are excited to see how God is working in that. And let me tell you a little bit about how that got started. A few years ago, God laid it on my heart to start feeding people, poor people. And I thought that I would be maybe feeding or giving out food to poor Americans. But a lot of poor Americans, they've got problems, and probably the reason why they're poor is, number one, they're on drugs. Number two, they smoke a lot of cigarettes. And number three, they drink a lot of alcohol. And in most cases, huh? Okay, Turkana. Okay. All right. Thank you. Turkana? Okay. Lord, send us the Holy Spirit so we can speak in these people's tongues. Amen. Because there's one thing that I believe is that the gospel is to be preached to all nations and all tongues. Amen. Yeah, help him out. All he needs. All right. Now, I was telling you about the poor Americans. Is that most of these people can get money and food from the government. So what happens is they'll come to us saying they need money for food. But the truth is they've already gotten food from the government. And they want us to give them money for drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, and everything else. So I shared my heart with my son-in-law, Michael Halanda. And he told me, Dad, people are dying in Turkana every day from starvation. As soon as he said that, I knew that God was leading me to start feeding the people of Turkana. So, thank you. The first month, my wife and I put up $500 American. We sent that money here. And now, I didn't tell anybody for a long time that I was the one that put up the money. But I figured, since the Lord laid it on my heart, that it would be wrong for me to ask other people to give their money when I wasn't willing to give my own. So that's, hey, thank you. So that first amount of money, I think we fed over 200 families with enough food for about a week. And I knew then that that's what the Lord wanted. After all, Jesus not only preached the gospel to them, but he fed them as well. Are you hearing me, pastors? It is our responsibility as pastors, as men of God, to feed people with the gospel and with bread for their stomach. Amen? Amen. Now, my church, my local church that I pastor, is no bigger than the group that sits here today. But since 2009, I have been putting videos out on the internet. And over those years, a lot of people began to watch our church. We stream our church services live. They began to watch our videos. And they began to feel themselves as being part of our church. And I'm talking people from America, Canada, England, Philippines, some in Russia, Australia, South America. God began to send us people from all over the world who were listening to what we were saying. So all I did was announce to the church and the people watching online that somebody had donated some money and we sent it to Turkana, and we fed over 200 families. That's all I said. And I asked those people, I didn't ask them for money, because in the 13 years I've been doing this, I've never asked anybody for money. Never. When I announced to the people that we started feeding people in Turkana, God started laying on the hearts of people all over the world to send money to us so that we could buy food for the people of Turkana. Some would send, I'm trying to do the math here, 50 shillings. Some would send 500 shillings, some 5,000 shillings. One person sent 100,000 American dollars. How many shillings is that? 100,000 American dollars. What about 10 million? 10 million Kenya shillings. And we took, huh? Okay. So 13 million. So we took every shilling of that and we set it aside just to feed the people of Turkana. And then later that same year, somebody else did the exact same thing. And we used every shilling of it to send over here to feed the families of Turkana. Last year, we fed over 60,000 families in Turkana with enough food for about 1 or 2 weeks. Thank you. Now, I'm not saying that to boast on me. A lot of preachers, their God is money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. But God just gave me a love for your people. And yesterday and today, I finally got to go with the teams to give money, to give food to the people, to pray with them, to go to their homes individually, to lay hands on them, to pray for them and their families. And I tell you that I stand here the richest man in the world because of the blessing that I've received from the people of Turkana. Amen. All right. Now, what I want you to do is, a lot of you, there's a pen and paper in front of you. If you would write down something that you want me to teach you while I'm here today, and I don't have to get on an airplane until, 9 o'clock tomorrow? So I could stand here until 9 o'clock tomorrow, if you want. if they would write down things that they may want me to teach about. I'll teach you about salvation. I'll teach you the responsibilities of a pastor. I'll teach you some Bible history. I can teach you about evil spirits, angels, Anything you want to know about God or Jesus? So anything you're interested in, write that down, and maybe later we'll have somebody go around and gather them up, and I'll take your advice on where to go from here on out. All right. Now, the first thing that I'm going to teach you is about this book. This is the Word of God. Amen? Now, I understand not all of you speak or read English. But let me tell you what God did for the people of Kenya 200 years ago. Around 200 years ago, 150 years ago, the King of England sent ships all around the world. And some of them landed in what is now Kenya. They called it East Africa back then. And the nation of Kenya used to be a colony of England. Just like America was a colony of England. But we decided that the only king we wanted in America was King Jesus. Amen? Amen. So the English, while they were here, they taught you how to drink tea. Take your tea, your chai every day. They taught you how to play cricket and football. And they left the English language here. And without a doubt, the greatest Bible that has ever been published is the King James Bible in English. Let me read a couple of verses from the King James. They're up here on the screen. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God.
Kama kutoka kwa Mungu, mbele za Mungu, mwanena katika Kristo.
So when I speak from the Bible, I'm speaking in Christ. The main thing that this verse teaches is that the devil has corrupted the Word of God. How many of you believe that? In fact, let's go back to, let me read this verse, 2 Corinthians 11. Paul said this, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. The word beguiled means he lied to her. And when the devil lied to Eve, I want you to notice that the devil never told Eve to eat the fruit that God forbid them to eat. Am I right? He just, first thing he did was, let's go to Genesis 3. See if I have that on there. Here we go, right here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So the first thing the devil did was caused Eve to question whether or not God said that or not. So the first thing the devil does is to get people to doubt whether this is the Word of God. Amen? So if I said to you today that God told me last night that he was going to fill this room with golden feathers, would you believe me? Would you believe me? No, because it's not in the Word of God. If I said to you, God told me last night that you can commit adultery, would you believe me? No. Why? Because God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen? All right, here's the second thing Satan did. He said, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. This is verse 4. Was that a lie? Because God told Adam, in the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Right? So, the first thing the devil does is get people to question God's word. The second thing he does is to tell people that what God said was a lie. The third thing that he did, it's in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, so the first thing you learned, did God really speak every word in this book? That's the first thing the devil does in a man's heart, is to try to teach him that man wrote the Bible, or that parts of the Bible are the words of man, not the words of God. The second thing the devil will do is to completely lie about what God said. The third thing that the devil does is offer a replacement for God's word. Now, does anybody here know how to read English? This is the Bible that was in my hotel room last night. Okay. Here's first thing I want you to do. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. We believe in what's called the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Now let me read the King James Bible, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. First John.
Chapter 5.
Okay, verse 7. Okay. Now I want you to read what verse 7 says in the is that Swahili? That's Turkana. Okay, your language. Read verse 7 to these people.
No.
You started reading verse 7 and then you started reading verse 8. Let me read verse 7 in the King James. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, say that in their Turkana. The Father.
Apa, akuj, akuj, etau akuj.
The Word.
Kang akro angakot.
And the Holy Ghost.
Etau lebsen.
And these three are one.
Lunu lugu araype.
But that's not in the Turkana Bible. Read from the English Standard Bible. And that's it. Right? They took the rest of verse 7 out of the modern Bibles in every language. So now, let me read this again in English. You translate into Turkana.
Very clear.
For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. The Father. Don't read it from there because it's not there. That's not there.
Thank you.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You have it in your Swahili Bible?
Yes.
Amen. Let me see that. Bring that over here. You're going to use his Bible.
Let me use this one.
Now, what year was that Bible printed? What year was that Bible?
This one is old, as you see.
I know, but what year? How old is this Bible? What year does it say? Let me see here. Should say right in the front, because I know they changed the Swahili Bible. 1952. That's exactly what I knew. Now I'm gonna tell you why. That the 1952 Swahili Bible has all of 1 John 1, 7, and the modern Swahili Bible doesn't.
alibelia na na kolongorot e ya kare nga furda nga furne di mutia tsana joni na.
Are you ready? Do you know who's responsible for taking that out? The Pope. The Vatican. The Catholic Church. Had that verse taken out of your Bible. Turn to Acts 8:37. Let me read it. In English, you're going to read it in Swahili. He's going to read it in English from the English Standard Bible, which was printed somewhere around 1995, somewhere around in there. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. This story is about the Ethiopian eunuch. Who was reading Isaiah 53. And Philip joined with him, right? And the eunuch wanted to know if Isaiah was about Isaiah or someone else. And Philip, from Isaiah 53, began to teach the Ethiopian black man eunuch that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus was showing us 2,000 years ago, that doesn't matter if you're black or white, you're going to heaven if you trust in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. Can we just baptize somebody in water and say, you're going to heaven? They must believe. Amen?
Amen.
So here is the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And verse 37 says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what it says there, right?
Yeah.
Who believes that demons or devils possess people? Ask them that. Ask. Who believes that devils can possess people? Amen. Have you seen people that are possessed? Right? And what did Jesus tell us was the way to remove very evil devils from someone?
Yes, anatufundisha sisi njia ya kuamini kwamba tunaweza toa pepo ndani ya mtu.
How to do it? How do we do it? What did he say?
We can pray.
What else? Matthew 17:21. Huh?
They said, pray and remove the devil.
Open to Matthew 17:21.
Matthew.
That's all right.
17.
Uh-huh.
17:21.
Verse 21. Yeah.
See.
Yeah. What does that say?
Lakini namna hii haitoki ila kwa kusali na kufunga.
What does that mean?
It will not come only by prayer, by fasting.
Right. Because Jesus said, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And he said it again in Mark. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So do you believe the word of God? And it's in the Swahili Bible. Back in the 1800s, they found two Greek New Testament manuscripts of the New Testament. And in those manuscripts, a lot of the verses that I've been sharing with you have been removed completely. And so when the modern translation started coming out, like from the New International Version in 1970, the New King James Bible in 1980, the English Standard Version, the Holman Standard Bible, which is the Southern Baptist, when all of these new modern translations started coming out, they followed those two corrupt Greek manuscripts. So in 1880, a man by the name of
Nessel
took those corrupt Greek manuscripts and made a new corrupted Greek New Testament. Years later, in the 1970s and
1980s,
I probably have this in my notes. A group of scholars got together and let me see if I have their picture here. And decided what was going to be in the Bible and what wasn't going to be in the Bible. Hang on here. Oh, I hope that's in here. No, it's not in here. At that time, there were three German scholars. I think one or two American scholars. And all of those were Protestant scholars. However, sitting on that same committee was a Jesuit priest from the Vatican. Was a Jesuit priest from the Vatican. So if you compare the 1952 Swahili Bible with a modern Swahili Bible, you will find that the Catholic Church was responsible for changing and corrupting God's Word. Now, I don't know very much Swahili. I know Bwana Sifiwe. I know Cho. Cho. The bathroom. Cho. Yeah. No. Cho. Bathroom. Toilet. That's the first word I learned when I came to Kenya. And I learned another phrase. Okay, get ready. Hold your Bible. Hold that Bible. Ready?
The book of Daniel.
Yeah, book of Daniel. Mwana wa Mungu. Which means?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. I believe that Jesus is Mwana wa Mungu. Amen. I believe that Jesus has always been Mwana wa Mungu. Is Mwana wa Mungu now? And he will always be Mwana wa Miyungu. Oh, I said it wrong? Mwana wa Miyungu? Oh, Mungu.
Yes.
What is it if I say Miyungu?
No. God.
Many gods?
Yeah.
When you say Miyungu, means idols.
Now, who was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Who was there with him? Mwana wa Mungu.
Yes.
The Son of God. Looking how good. Daniel chapter 4.
3.
Chapter 3.
Verse 25. Read it to these people.
Akajibu akasema, tasama, mimi ninaona watu wanne. Nao wamefunguliwa. Wanatembea katikati ya moto. Hali awana dhara. Na sura yake yule nne ni mfano wa mwana wa miungu.
They changed the word of God. Jesus is not the Son of gods. He's the Son of God. So, do you believe me that the devil has changed and corrupted God's word? You believe me? All right, let's go to Matthew 13. The story of the wheat and the tares. Well, let's see. Yeah, Matthew 13. And by the way, the Greek text that Catholic priest was involved in changing back in
1980.
It was the 28th edition of the Greek New Testament, which means it had been changed 28 times by
1980.
They're now into the 28th edition the 29th edition, and they're going to work on the 30th edition, meaning that they are going to continue to change what the Greek New Testament says so that there is never a sure word of prophecy. This one has not been changed in over 400 years. This Bible was based upon what our Christian forefathers read and believed. For some 1,500 years, all of God's true believers no matter what language it was translated in, they still all believed the same word of God. What did God do on the day of Pentecost? He had the disciples speak the word of God in languages that the people there would understand. So that all people everywhere can be saved. Amen? All right, let's look at this parable. Matthew 13:37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Go ahead. Keep reading.
Basi kama vile magugu ya kusanyavyo na kuchomwa motoni, ndivyo itakavyo kuwa katika mwisho wa dunia. Verse number 41. Mwana wa Adamu atawatuma malaika zake, nao watawakusanya kutoka katika ufalme matukizo yote na wao watendao maasi. Verse number 42. Na kuwatupa katika tanuru ya moto.
That's hell. Amen.
Ndiko utakako kilio na kusaga meno.
Yeah.
Verse number 43. Ndipo wenye haki watakapo ng'aa kama jua katika ufalme wa baba yao. Mwenye masikio na asikie.
Amen. Now, I have two pictures up here. One of them is a picture of wheat. One of them is a picture of tares. Who can tell me the difference?
Yeah,
If your life depended on it, could you tell me the difference? Oh, you think this is the wheat?
They say this one is ripe.
This one is the wheat.
This makes this wheat.
Okay, and this they're saying this is tares. Okay. Okay. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? They call them weeds. You hold on to that, okay? They call them weeds, okay? I have something. Hold on. Does anybody know what tares are? What is? Do they know? What is it?
Okay, yeah. Tears are the seeds that are looking like
the wheat.
Like the wheat.
Yeah.
They are coming.
Right.
Without being planted.
Okay.
By the time you want to reap, that's when now you see this is tares.
Right.
This is
right. Right. Okay. Can you eat tares? Why not? Why not?
They are saying it belongs to animals, not for men.
Okay, okay.
For animals.
Let me tell you what they're called in America. Poison darnel. Poison darnel. Let me tell you why they call them poison. Because a fungus grows on the seed. And if a human eats it, it'll make him first crazy, and then it'll kill him. So, are you sure? Would you bet your life on which one of these is wheat and which one of these that if you eat it, it will kill you? Now, let me do that. The devil's words kill. They are poison. Where does the poison come from? A serpent. Mouth. When false prophets preach, the poison comes out of their mouth just like a serpent. And those who receive those false words are not just dead physically. They are dead in the lake of fire forever. So do you understand now why the devil has corrupted the Bible? You understand why the devil's corrupted the Bible? He has put just enough poison in it to kill forever. So, is it important which Bible you read? Oh no, I lost my picture. Yeah. By the way, who picked this as the wheat? All those who say this is the corn or the wheat, the good stuff, raise your hand. Okay, who picked these here? You're dead. Now, here's something. Let me go back to this verse. You're going to like this. Do you know why do you know why God wanted to wait until the harvest before they separated the wheat from the tares? Both of them are green while they're growing. But when the tares are ready for harvest, the seed turns black. Do you know what happens to wheat when it ripens? It turns gold like the sun.
Wow.
Amen. When we will be transformed one of these days, we will all be transformed in the image of His Son. Say amen. Woo! Now, these two verses here, very quickly. Can good fruit come from a corrupt tree? No. Can corrupt fruit come from a good tree? No. So, this is the good tree. It is the tree of life. And those who believe it, and those who preach it, will give to their people eternal life. Amen. So is there a difference between the Bibles? Yeah. Let me go to let's see here. All right. Daniel 3:25. Remember Moana wa Mungu? These are the four most popular Bibles in America. The New International Version says Moana wa Miyungu. The English Standard Version that he has says Mwana wa Miungu. The Christian Standard Bible says Mwana wa Miungu. The New American Standard Bible says Mwana wa Miungu. Is that... Go ahead.
Who is the sons of gods? Who is this person that's called the sons of gods?
Okay, let's think. Let's think the way the Bible lays things out. Do you remember in Genesis 6? We have the sons of God, which were evil angels. And they came and took human wives, the daughters of men, and created the giants. Goliath was a giant. The sons of Anak were giants. And we're not just talking about tall men. We're talking about men who were so large. That they moved and built out of stones that are so big that modern equipment cannot move them now. So, if Christ is the Son of God, Antichrist is a son of the gods. He's the man of sin. Christ is the son of righteousness. Jesus is the son of God. The Antichrist is the son of perdition or the son of hell. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Let's see here. Yes, go ahead. That was Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, in Daniel 4, the very next chapter, at the end of Nebuchadnezzar being a beast, he knew God. Let me ask you a question. If you saw Jesus, the Son of God, would you know who it is? Okay. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't matter that Nebuchadnezzar never went to church and never read the Bible. When he saw who was in the fiery furnace, he knew it was the Son of God. That's what I believe. Let me ask you a question. My turn. Who is Lucifer? Who is Lucifer?
Satan.
Satan. Who is Lucifer? Does everybody agree that Lucifer?
Somebody saying there, Lucifer is the son of God. He's saying, not me. He's saying.
Okay, let's read this verse to him. Isaiah 14:12.
In fact,
just translate what I say. Translate what I say. Ready? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus fall from heaven? No. Revelation 12. Satan was cast out of heaven. He fell from heaven. Not Jesus.
Amen?
Here's where the confusion comes in. The New International Version, the NIV, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. Who's the morning star? No. Revelation 22:16. Translate what I say. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus is the morning star. Lucifer is not the morning star. Amen? Yes.
Question.
Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. The time when you begin your the teaching of today, there is a story that you talk about the Meshach and the Abednego. How that relates to our life of Christians. How all the teachings that I would do from that content of Meshach, Abednego from that vision.
So you want a teaching on how the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego apply to us now. Okay. I'm with you. First Peter. And I'll put First Peter up on the screen. While I'm doing this, let me say this. Where's the DVDs? Okay. You see this software that I'm using? We had a woman in America make this software for us for free. It is a way to search the King James Bible And it's completely free. So if before you leave today, if you want a copy of this, it is yours. If you know of somebody else that you think would like a copy, we have more. Okay? They'll work on any laptop, Windows, Macintosh or Mac. Okay? It works on Mac. And there you go. And Linux. If you know what Linux is, it works on Linux. Okay? All right, let me get to his teaching. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me go down. You see, I can go to any book in the Bible. 1 Peter, I can go to any chapter in the Bible. I got to do this. I like to teach on numbers in the Bible. What is God's best number? Seven days in a week? Right? Huh? Yeah, completion. Perfection, right? The seven spirits of God and the seven candlesticks, which represent the seven spirits of God. Okay. Can I show you something? What is seven times seven? They say 49. I want you to notice, right here and right, where is it? That the phrase Word of God is used exactly 49 times in the King James Bible. That's perfection. How many spirits of God are there? We just said it. Seven. The phrase Holy Spirit is found exactly seven times in the King James Bible. And do you know what the seven spirits are? Turn to Isaiah 11. I'll put that up on the screen. I'll get to your question in a little bit. I'm having fun. Isaiah 11. I'm there. Okay. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots.
katika mizizi yake.
Who is the branch? Who is that branch?
Matawi ni nani?
It's Jesus Christ.
Huyo ni Yesu.
He came out of Jesse.
Alitoka kwa Jesse.
Jesse was the father of David.
Jesse alikuwa ni baba ya Daudi.
Jesus is the son of David.
Yesu ni mwana wa Daudi.
And the Bible says that these spirits will be on him.
Na Biblia inasema roho hizi zitakuwa juu yake.
So let's count them. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Number two, the Spirit of wisdom. Number three, the Spirit of understanding. Number four, the Spirit of counsel and might. Number five, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. How many is that? Seven. Those are the seven spirits of God. Okay? Now, how old was Jesus when he died on the cross? 33. Right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Amen.
Amen.
Show you something else. I need you to turn around. Okay. This is his backbone. This is how his brain speaks to his body. Amen? Do you remember when Moses wanted to see God? In Exodus 33. And God said, "You can't see my face." So what did God show Moses? His back. Do you know how many bones you have in your back? 33. He was showing him, Jesus, I'm not done. Because the brain has to speak to this side of the body. And this side of the body. So there is a bundle of nerves that come out of this side. On the right side. And nerves that come out on the left side. So if you have 33 of these times 2, how many do you have? 66, which is the number of books in God's Word. I'm not just another pretty face. Okay, Peter.
Petro.
Yeah, turn to 1 Peter. I got a lot of that stuff to show you later if you want to stay and hear it. Because I love to teach it. Okay. So let's say that all of us are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul said that Christ was going to come and gather us. Christ was going to come and gather us together. But something was going to happen before that. He said it would be a falling away. So, on the day that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the field of Dura, Nebuchadnezzar had built an idol that was 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide. You remember we talked about the Antichrist? What is his number? So who is that image that Nebuchadnezzar built that's 60 cubits tall and 6 cubits wide? It's an image of the Antichrist. How tall was Goliath? How tall was Goliath? 6 cubits tall. How many fingers do giants have on each hand? So do you see who Goliath represents? He's the beast of the last days. Okay, now, let's go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar said that all the music starts, what was everybody supposed to do? Fall.
Okay.
Who didn't? Was it easy then to see who was on God's side and who wasn't? My question to you is, will you be on the Lord's side? Will you be standing when the devil tells everyone else to fall? Amen? So, their punishment for not falling was fire. 1 Peter 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, what was Nebuchadnezzar's image made of? Gold. Amen. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I believe that we are going to be tried by fire before Jesus comes. I have a second witness to that. Let's see if I can find it. Here we go. Same book, 1 Peter. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let me say, I have been tried by fire many times. And if all of you are true men of God, the devil will hurl fiery darts against you. What kind of darts? Fiery. What is the only thing that can stop Satan's fiery darts? Shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So even if you're Shadrach, and the evil king says, I'm going to throw you in the fire, Jesus will be there with you. Amen.